Amen. Thank you, Brother Ricky. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to a couple of different passages to begin with this morning. We're going to look at some things together. I'm going to be preaching in just a few minutes from the book of Psalms, number 118. So if you want to find that passage of Scripture, and that's where I'll end up at eventually. But if you'll open your Bibles also to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And I had on my mind another message in all the years I've been preaching, going on 50 years now. I've only written out one message, one sermon the whole time. I do outlines, of course, but to write the whole message out, God burdened my heart one time to write, and I wrote out a message called "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" And I read it. Now, a lot of pastors, preachers have read their sermons. One of the greatest messages of all times is called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And the brothers that preached that message read every word of it. But people shuddered and in the presence of God and held to the back of the pews and begged God not to let them fall into hell under the power of God. So it's not just preaching, not reading or whatever. It's the Word of God that's powerful and the message and the anointing of God. But anyhow, I only had one, and that's called "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" And I really thought up to almost the last minute yesterday. God had that on my heart, but there's been something else working in my heart all for a few days now, and I just settled even last night for sure that this is what God wants me to do. And in that regard, I had a confirmation earlier this morning. Then when Brother Ricky sang that song just now, thank the Lord for that. He prayed, and what a wonderful song and what great words and what a wonderful prayer. Lord, I pray you'd fill this temple with your presence and let your Holy Spirit flow through me. Now, thinking about this building as a meeting place, but I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 19. "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, God has burdened my heart for this theme. I like to do a theme if God will lead me to, and he has. The whole month of January, we're going to be emphasizing temple maintenance. Temple maintenance. Do you have to do maintenance at your house? I know you do. We have to do maintenance on this building, heating system and cooling system and all the plumbing and everything. It has to be maintained if it's going to be functioning. We thank God for it. It's hard to believe we've been in here as long as we have now, and God's blessed us to be here in this building. But we have to maintain it. Well, the same thing's true of your spiritual life. Number one, you need to know that you're saved. You need to know that you're born again by the grace of God. It's not trying to be a Christian. It is being born again that makes you a Christian. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. What must I do to be saved? The answer is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. If you believe on him, you can be saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ. But being saved means you become a child of the King. You become a Christian. You are born again. And we're described in the Bible as babes in Christ. As newborn babes, we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. And so as you think about the upcoming springtime and you'll be doing spring cleaning and maintenance around the house, I want to emphasize in this whole month of January this thought of temple maintenance. He said, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. He said, therefore, you ought to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And so there's a twofold work that you and I ought to focus on as Christians, and that is the physical aspect of maintaining what God has given us, this physical body, and then also our spiritual person to maintain and to grow spiritually. Now, with that in view, I want to turn to the book of Psalms 118. Psalms 118, and I'll share with you what God's laid on my heart in that regard. Now, a lot of things going on in the month of January. I have a long list of them. I'm not going to take time to do it now. But one of the things that I do want to mention to you that we've got going on in January is on January the 17th. Brother Jim White is going to be with us. He and his wife Ronnie are both missionaries, and we support them and help them, and you know the great works of God that God used them to do. Quite a few years ago, Brother Jim, who's now 70-some-odd years, I'm not sure, 72, 73, I don't want to date him, but he's up there, I think, but at any rate, he was having a lot of physical problems. He said he got to where he couldn't hardly get up and down. His joints ached all the time. And so he, like some others, started doing some research. And God led him into some things in regard to his physical body that have revolutionized his life. And so on 17th, as we're thinking about temple maintenance, Brother Jim White's going to be with us on Sunday morning. He's going to preach on maintaining the spiritual man. And Sunday night, he'll preach on the body. Now, if you don't want to get mad, don't come that Sunday night, the 17th, because Jim and his research have found a lot of things that some people wonder about, and because it challenges some of our present lifestyle. And I hope you'll be here for that. I'll say more about that later, but that's on January the 17th. Now, look here, if you will, please, in this wonderful passage of Scripture in Psalms 118, and I'll read just a couple of verses for us. Look at verse number 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, and now prosper. I want you to bow with me for prayer. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the wonderful singing of Brother Ricky. Thank you, our Father, for Miss Wendy and the gifts and talents you've given to her and to Brother Tim, and God, how you've used them so wonderfully here in the work and ministry for the thousands of lives touched through the WANA program and through the dramas and through his pastoral ministries. I thank you, God, for all you use them to do, for their gifts, our Father, in so many ways, and Lord, for blessing us and gifting this church with them. Our Father, I thank you for them. Thank you for Brother Brad and the choir, and what a blessing this morning. Brother Ricky's special, God, thank you for him. And I pray, God, now that you'd speak to my heart, the heart of all these here gathered, for the many in the radio audience and in the internet audience, our Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I am emphasizing in the month of January, you and I maintaining our temple and giving God the glory. The Bible said that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you ought to glorify, therefore, God in your body and in your spirit. And I am convinced that we do not glorify God when we're constantly complaining and when we're constantly negative about everything and about everybody else. Here's a wonderful passage of Scripture that I read and that God spoke to my heart devotionally about some time ago. And he says this is the day the Lord's made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if you look at it in the context of this psalm, this is one of what's called the Messianic Psalms, and it speaks of our Lord, and it talks about his coming into the world. And notice verse number 22, for instance, the stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the foundation of the church. He is the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. And here we see him in this position, and he's been rejected by the nation of Israel, and yet he's been exalted to be the head of the corner. Now, that's prophetic. It looks beyond his death and his burial and his resurrection and the fact that he is now alive and that he is the chief cornerstone. My dear friend, here in this passage of Scripture, and in response to that, look at verse number 23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So in context, the day that you're to rejoice in is in to rejoice in the triumph, victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over death, hell, and the grave, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and that he died for me and you. He was resurrected, and now he lives in victory. Now he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and this is the thing the Lord's done. It's marvelous in our sight, and he said, this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for that. How many of you are glad for the resurrection? Say amen. And thank God that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. I was thinking about all the things that's going on with all the horrific problems in our nation, and you and I are well aware of them. We ought not to stick our head in the sand. I do appreciate men like David who are standing up for our country and trying to do things that are right. legislatively. And you and I have a great responsibility to pray for them and to pray for our nation. But my dear friend, listen, in spite of all that's going on, you and I must ever be reminded that our Savior lived, He died, He was buried, He rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and He is coming again. And 100 years from now, what you and I are worried about most today will make absolutely no difference in eternity. Thank God for that. All that you're going through. And I want to share with you this morning how you and I ought to live 2016. And it's given to us here in this passage of Scripture and this one little phrase in verse number 24. This is the day the Lord's made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, chronologically and biblically and prophetically, it's speaking about the day of the exaltation of our Lord and being exalted, given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. But that's a good principle for me and you to live. As saved people, as being born again by the grace of God, you and I ought to live that way. You know, you're going to have some days. It says this day. You're going to have some dreary days in 2016. There'll be some days that are just dreary. The weather we've had recently with all the rain and the clouds and the gloominess, those are dreary days physically and so far as the environment and the climate's concerned. But you go through those days someday when the sun's shining. You'll have a dreary day. You're going to experience that. You're going to have some days that are distasteful days. I mean, it's everything's wrong. You know, you have what's called a sweet day, but you have a distasteful day sometime. I mean, everything's wrong. Nothing's right. And things going on in the problems in your family and business and everywhere else. You're going to have those. Just know you're going to have those. You're going to have some of those. You're going to have some days of disease, perhaps, in 2016. That's just part of being in this body. Just part of being here. We're in a world that is under the curse of sin. And because of sin, disease and death and all that came into the world. And you and I are subject to those things. You and I have a body. And the Bible said that when we die, this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. But not until then. As long as you're in this body, you're living in a mortal body. As long as you live in this body, you're living in a corruptible body. I mean, in spite of all that we do, but you and I still have responsibility to maintain the temple and to keep it right. You're going to have some days, my dear friend, in 2016 that will be disastrous. I mean, there will be some of you who will have days that are going to be disastrous days. And you say, Brother Billy, how can we live in those days that are dreary and those days that are doubtful, those days that are dark, and those days that might be diseased, or those days that might even be disaster. How can we live that way? Well, God gives us some delightful days too. He gives us some blessed days too. And we experience all those. Y'all know that I like to fish. I like to talk about it more than I like to go, evidently, because I didn't go about twice last year. But I made a resolution. I'm going to do better than that this year. But you know, there's a program on TV. The guy's name's Al Linder, and he's a Christian. He's from up north somewhere, and he has a fishing program. And at the end of his program, he always does a little devotion. And I was watching him the other day, and at the end of the program, he did a devotion. He said for, I forget how many, 35, 40 years, he'd been a professional guide. And he kept very detailed logs of water temperature and climate and wind and all those things every day that he went. And, of course, being a professional fisherman, he went all the time. And he said he looked back over him after a period of time, and he said he found out that in most weeks he'd have two good days. He'd have two really, really bad days. And then he'd have three just kind of so-so days. Over all those years, regardless of what new techniques came out, regardless of how many electronics he had on his boat, all new baits that came out, super baits, you're going to fill the boat up. On average, he said, I had two good days, I had two really bad days, and I had three just so-so days in a week. And you know what? He said, I got to thinking about life. Life's the same way. You might as well know that in 2016, you're probably going to have two really, really good days in a week. You may have two really, really bad days in the same week. And in 3 days, they'll be just kind of so-so. But that's just part of life. But I'm telling you, what makes the difference is your approach to those days. Your approach to those days. This is the day the Lord's made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I got to look at that little phrase, this day. That speaks of this day. Look back in your Bible, please, if you will, in the book of Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, here's a familiar story. And the enemies of God had encamped around about them. And I got ahead of myself. Genesis chapter 41, I want you to look at verse number 9. Here's the story of this wonderful blessing of God and Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? His brothers hated him, sold him into bondage. And he came into Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife kind of lied on him, and he ended up in prison. And there was a baker and a butcher in there. And God gave a dream to them. Well, here's the testimony of the butler, rather. Listen to it at verse number 9 of Genesis 41. Then spake the chief butler to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. I underline that. I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in the inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream, and one night, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dream. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. I'll not read the rest of the story. You remember the story. But the butler lived, and the baker died. And Joseph interpreted the dream, and he said, now when you are delivered, remember me and tell Pharaoh about me. Well, Pharaoh has a problem, can't interpret his dream. And all of a sudden, the butler, who has now been freed for some time, makes this statement in verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto the Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. And then he went ahead and told Pharaoh the story. This day, it doesn't do us any harm. And you'll have these days that you'll have some faults in 2016. You'll have some failures. You're still in the body. You're still in the body of flesh. None of us are perfect. And here's the thing is, if we're going to live according to Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord's made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You and I, we ought to remember our faults, our failure, our sin, but we ought to repent. And what happens is, just as soon as he remembered his fault, then he corrected his problem and told Pharaoh about Joseph. And so this day's a good day to remember faults and failures and sin, but it's a good day to repent. And if you'll live your day, every day of your life, when I have been involved in the ordination of a lot of young men and counseled a lot of young men in ministry, and I said, there's a couple things you need to learn. Number one, you need to learn to instant confession. Instant confession. What do you mean by that? I mean, when you disobey God or you sin, learn to confess it right then. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But somehow or another, we fail God, we get sin in our life, and we just let it drag on and on and on. We are miserable. We lose the joy of the Lord. We lose the anointing of God. We lose the real power of God. And we let it drag on, and then somewhere along the line, we come to the place where we finally are willing to confess. And if I could challenge you to do anything in 2016 on this day, that is to instantly confess your faults. Instantly confess your failures. Not to me, but to the Lord. He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful, just forgive us. And then to repent and do right. It's not enough to say, God, I failed you here. But then you turn around and do right. This day. How do you live 2016? I tell you, you'll live with this idea that we're gonna instantly, on this day, acknowledge our failure. Don't wait from Monday to Sunday to get right with God. You don't have to confess anything to me. You don't have to do it here at this altar. But I'm telling you, you learn on this day to acknowledge your sin and your failure and get right with God. If you confess your sins, do it instantly. Don't let that cloud build up in your heart. Don't let that darkness come in. Don't let that void of the presence and power of God be there. Don't lose the joy of your salvation. But now go over to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and look in chapter number 7. Go back to 2 Kings and look in chapter number 7, also at verse 9. And here's the story of where the Assyrians have encamped around about the people of God. If you go back and read the chapter prior to this, it's an awful scene. I mean, they have been encamped around the city, and things have become so desperate that even some parents, mothers, have eaten their own children. Oh, that's not a good day. That's a bad day. But what happens is they say they're going to take the man of God's life. They're going to take Elisha's life because they feel like it's his fault for some reason. He said, wait a minute. He said, tomorrow there's going to be plenty. There'll be plenty. And listen, what happened during the night is that God discomforted the armies of the Syrians. They left out and they left all the goods. And there's a story here in chapter 7 about four leprous men. They're outside the gate and at the inner end of the gate. And they're there, and they're kind of caught between those imprisoned in the city and the great armies of Syria. And so they finally said this, if we go in there, we'll starve to death. But if we go out to the army of the Syrians, at least maybe they'll have pity and feed us. And so those four lepers go out, and when they get out, they find out that during the night, God has come in and he performed a miracle. The Syrians heard a great amount of chariots and they fled and left all the good, and the camp's been evacuated and all the treasures are still there. And so what they begin to do is they do what you and I do. They begin to eat and to have a great time and to enjoy it. And I mean, they were just, man, they had this, everything this great army had left, and they were enjoying every bit of it. But notice verse number 9. One of them said this, then said they one to the other, we do not well. Watch this. This day, underline that, this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. He said, inside the city where we came from, people are starving to death, and we've got all this great treasure out here. And he said, this day is a day of good tidings, and we need to go tell. My dear friend, 2016, this day, whatever day it is, this day, it's a good day to recognize and repent of your faults, but it's also a good day to recognize and thank God for your blessings and to tell people the good news. Here they, every day in 2016, if you'll realize God's blessing on your life, you don't have this, you don't have that, but you got so many other things. You got so many other things. God's been so good to you. Count your blessings and recognize the blessings of God in your life, and then you tell the good news. This is the day of good tidings. Let's rise up and go tell. My dear friend, there's still good news. I really don't like to watch the news on television, Fox News, anybody else. I try to watch enough to know a little bit about what's going on, but it there's so many things on there that I can pray about, but I don't have any control over. And my dear friend, listen, when you come to the Word of God, there is some good news. There's some good news. And while everybody else is talking about all the bad news, and there again, we don't need to put our head in the sand. There's some things we've got to take care of. I believe in so far as legislation, I believe so far as some things in our country, our preparedness and our awareness of the imminent dangers that are right here at our doorstep, all those things are true. That's all true. But my dear friend, there's still some good news. And the good news is this, that Jesus Christ loved you, and he died for you, and he died for every man, woman, boy, and girl you meet. And the good news is this, that they can repent of their sin and be saved and can go to heaven and live forever. Amen. And you ought to spend some time this year. Everybody gets around and they talk about all the negative things going on and all the problems going on. But my dear friend, this is a day of good tidings, and we need to tell the good news of the gospel. And if you want to have a good year, count your blessings, recognize the goodness of God in your life, and then tell the good news. Now, come back to our text in Psalm 118. Psalms 118. That wasn't necessarily introduction, but it is bringing us back to Psalm 118 and this wonderful passage of Scripture. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. In 2016, it tells us something about the framework of our concern this day. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. You say, well, you know, our nation may fall tomorrow, but Jesus may come tomorrow. Amen. I'm telling you right now, those people were going to kill Elisha because they were starving to death and they thought they had no hope. But he said, tomorrow is going to be plenty of bread. And I tell you, this thing could turn around on a dime if God would move in and God intervene. But listen, we're not living tomorrow. We're not living the end of January or 1st of February. We're living this day. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to. That's our time frame. I think about our Lord when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. So many things about the future. So many concerns about the future. But he said, you pray like this. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And I believe he's teaching us that principle. You live this day. You enjoy this day. You be blessed this day. Count your blessings this day. It is if you're going to live and have a good year in 2016, you got to live in this one-day compartment this day. I can't do anything about the past. I can't do anything about tomorrow. But today, I can do something about today. This is the day the Lord's made. My dear friend, not only does it say something about the area of my concern or the framework of my concern, but it says something to me about the framer of my days. This is the day the Lord's made. You understand this. The things don't just happen. God's in control. He gave you this day, gave me this day. God has given us another day to honor Him and love Him and serve Him and be a blessing to other people. Understand that every day you live is a gift from God. This is the day the Lord's made. Get up every morning in 2016 and say, Lord, I want to thank you for this day. You've made this day for me. You've given me this day to live. You've given me this day to be with my family. You've given me this day to be a witness for you. God, you've been good to me. I love you, Lord. I thank you. Understand this, my dear friend, that He's the framer of your days. God's got something. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day. You don't either. But I know one thing. He's in control. He's in control. This is the day the Lord's made. You want to live, have a good life in 2016? I believe you ought to learn to live in this day. Live in this day. Thank God for it. And thank God for this day. And understand who framed this day for you. God did that. And then I want you to notice the focus that you ought to have every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The focus of it. We will. We will. Now, sometimes you just have to will to do things. You say, well, Brother Billy, I've got all these problems, got all this, that, and the other, and going through this and going through that and going through the other. Understand that, because you live in a real world. I've already addressed that. But this is the day the Lord's made, and we will. I'm telling you, a resolve of my will and your will, I don't care what comes, what goes, I will rejoice and be glad in this day. I can rejoice regardless of what's going on around me. I can rejoice and be glad in this day. I can praise Him for that. I can, the resolve of my will, I can praise Him for this day. This is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I can do that. With the resolve of my will, I can do that. What are we to do? What is the focus? I will resolve in my will to rejoice and be glad. I'm going to spend every day of 2016 rejoicing and thanking God for this day. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to exalt Him. I'm going to magnify Him. I'm going to be glad that God gave me this day. The world out here, you're living in an unhappy world. I preached a message one time, had it on cassette. We don't have it on CD. But how to be happy in an unhappy world. Look at the faces of so many on television. They're unhappy. Look at them in the mall or wherever you go. You don't see very many people whistling anymore. You don't see many people humming a song anymore. You don't see any joy on their face anymore. I tell you, a person that I see that's happy and rejoicing and whistling and singing is a novelty. It's so unusual that when you see them, it catches your attention immediately. They're happy. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the Bible said that you and I will live such a way that when they see us, they want to know the reason for the joy, the hope that's in us. If we had learned to live that way, there'd be somebody comes up to you and say, what you got to be so happy about? You can tell them then. You can tell him, the Lord saved me. He forgave all of my sin. I'm on my way to heaven. He's blessed me. He's been good to me. He gave me this day. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. My dear friend, it's a resolve of your will. If you're going to live, my dear friend, you've got to learn to live in this way. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. You and I are to live a life of rejoicing. You say, Brother Billy, what about ISIS? They are real. I believe they are imminent. They are a real threat here in America. And I don't want to overlook that. I want to be prepared. The Bible said you'll be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I believe it's right to be prepared. I believe it's right to make plans. But my dear friend, that does not excuse me from rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in what He's done for me. And if you want to be happy, if you want to be used of God, if you want to honor Him, you rejoice in the Lord. You say, well, Brother Bill, it's hard to do that. Well, let me just paint a picture for you. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine living in a country that is dominated by another world power? Just suppose today that the Russians or Islam were to take over America. I mean, just you were under their domination. Just suppose that you had recently converted from the religion of your natural birth, and you had accepted another religion or another Savior, and consequently, most of your brethren, most of the folk who knew you, absolutely hated you now. And beyond that, you have the local government and the national government that is over that nation, and they all are against you, and they arrest you for doing the one thing that God in heaven called you to do, that is to preach the gospel and to tell people they can be saved. And how would you react to that? If they took you and put you, what Brother Tom Gillum said, in the Mamertine prison. I mean, down, what it amounts to is in the sewer system. Down in there and in chains with all the sewer and all the rats and everything else. And your family had pretty much disowned you. Your country had been overrun by a foreign power. How would you react to that? Well, I'll tell you what Paul and Silas did. The Bible said they sang and praised God at midnight. What a difference. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, all that they were going through and all their nation dominated by Rome. He had been raised a Jew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said, I missed it. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And now most of his kindred, most of his nation hates him. And now he's in prison. And he sings and praises God at midnight. What a testimony. My dear friend, in the darkest hour you could ever imagine in the life of Paul and Silas, they sang and praised God at midnight. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad today. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad heaven's my home. I'm glad no matter what happens, I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus Christ loved me and He died for me. I'm glad that one of these days I'll have a brand new body. Some of you right now going through chemotherapy, you're going through different things. We've seen God do miracles. Brother Donnie Tippett, who's been going through chemotherapy and everything else, was re-diagnosed several months ago. As his cancer had come back super aggressively, he was diagnosed that it was inoperable and incurable. They were going to do the best they could to keep him comfortable. And then this past week, Brother Donnie called me from the doctor's office, and he was rejoicing and weeping. And when he got through telling me, I was rejoicing and weeping. And he said, Brother Billy, they did a PET scan on me. And he said, they say I'm cancer free. Hey, listen, this is the day the Lord's made. Thank God for that. Amen. Listen, but some of you may not be what happens to you. God may choose to let you go to heaven. I don't know. But I know this, you ought to be glad. And Brother Donnie's glad that 100 years from now, you say, well, it's a dark day, but 100 years from now, none of that will make any difference. I'm glad today because one of these days, we'll leave this body, whether it's diseased or it's in excellent shape, One of these days, we'll all have a brand new body. I'm glad of that. I'm glad, my dear friend, that one of these days that the world will recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm glad of that. Hey, things may look bleak. I'm a football fan. You know that. I love football. Boy, listen. I don't know if you watched the game, end of the games yesterday, and I wasn't really pulling for anybody, and that's the best kind of game to watch if you're not pulling for anybody. You don't get too emotionally involved. My wife don't like me watch football games. I get too into it. But last night in Oregon and Texas Christian, first half, it was 31-0, Oregon winning. I don't know if you saw it or not. You know who won the game? Texas Christian won it 47-41. Biggest comeback in bowl history. But in the middle of the game, it looked bad. Now, those fans, those Oregon fans, they said some of them, or Texas Christian said, some of them probably went home at halftime, 31-0. And they couldn't stand it. But now, I guarantee you, every one of those fans now, they could have a video, they could watch it. And when every time Oregon scored, they wouldn't get down. And when it got to be 31-0, they wouldn't get down because it's already over with. And they know that when it's all said and done, there's going to be a miraculous comeback, and they're going to win 47-41. And they sit there and watch it. And they watch it. And regardless of what the other team does, regardless of how many great runs they have, regardless of how many penalties are called against Texas Christian, we know this. We already won. Amen. We can watch it and enjoy it. Well, can I tell you, my dear friend, I've already read the end of the book. Amen. Praise God. We win. Amen. Thank God. When it's all over with, I'm going to rejoice and be glad this day because I know the end of the story. Amen. 2016, make it a great year for the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to live in that one day, this day. Resolve of your will, I will rejoice and be glad in. When you get yourself being down, you feel like you're complaining, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will check you. And you'll just turn around and say, thank God, I'm glad I'm alive. I'm glad God's real. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, and I'm glad he loved me and died for me. Would you bow your heads in prayer, my dear friend, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, in the context of what I've just read to you, I explained to you that this is a messianic psalm. It's looking at the coming of our Lord. This is several hundred years before he was ever born. But God showed the writer, when he's already been crucified, buried, and resurrected, and the stone that the builders had rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. They see him in victory. They see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to rejoice in this day. That is that coming day. But because of that coming day, we can rejoice this day. Hey, you and I have responsibilities as husbands and wives and sons and daughters, as citizens of this country. We all have responsibilities. We ought to do those. The Bible said if a man doesn't provide for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. You and I ought to be diligent in our work. We ought to be conscientious in our devotion to our country and our nation. We ought to live our lives with this thought. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a resolve of my will. I'm not going to just rejoice when I'm well. I'm not going to just rejoice when everything's going good. Every day of 2016, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a resolve of my will. It has nothing to do with circumstance. I'm going to just do it. I can look forward to the end and know that when it's all said and done, it's going to be all right. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have that prospect. James said, there's some who say that today or tomorrow we're going to such and such city and we'll do this, that, and the other. And he said, you ought to say if it's the Lord's will. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and it vanishes away. The challenge is to those who are not prepared to get ready. The way you get ready for tomorrow is to get saved today. This is the day the Lord hath made, but this is the day of salvation, the Bible says. This day. According to the Word of God, you can only get saved on this day. Not on Sunday, but on this day. There's no promise in the Bible that anybody can get saved tomorrow, but today you could. In the radio audience, internet audience, and in this building, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, first Sunday of 2016, this day is the day of salvation. This is the day that you could call on the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This day, right now, you can begin not only a new calendar year, but a new spiritual life by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right now, if you're in the media audience or if you're in this building, if you're not saved, would you call on him? Would you right now accept him as your Savior and Lord? Right now, would you do something? Would you ask him to come in your heart? If you'll do that, would you pray this simple prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, but you bore all of my sins on the cross. You paid my sin debt. You died, you were buried, and you rose again. I believe you're alive, Lord. Come in my heart, forgive me of all my sin. I accept you now as my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving me right now. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that in your heart, you've prayed it, I'd encourage you to confess it. Tell somebody else that you've trusted Christ. In just a moment, I'd invite you to come to this altar and say, Brother Billy, I prayed that prayer. I've been saved. Maybe you come and say, Preacher, I don't understand it all, but I want to be saved. There are men who will pray with the men, ladies who will pray with the ladies. People here will help you. I wonder how many of you this morning you're Christians. In 2016, you've had some dreary days. You've had some diseased days. You've had some devastating days. You've had some dark days. But you had some delightful days. That's just part of living in this world. My dear friend, I want us to resolve, if we're going to make resolutions, let's make this resolution. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to murmur. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and thank him for what he's done and for what he's doing and what he's going to do. I'm going to make that resolution. Preacher, will you help me to pray? I want to live that way this year. I want to live, this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't want to be negative. I want to be assured and positive because we have the truth of the Word of God. We know the difference between what's supposed to be and what is in reality. We know the real. We've been saved and we know heaven's our home. We know that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. Preacher, will you pray that God help me live that way? Would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray God now this morning that not to me or not to anybody else, but to you, that our Father, your people, first of all, would resolve that God, this day, every day in 2016, they're going to rejoice and be glad in it. They're going to count it a blessing that you've allowed them to live. They're not going to live in the past. They're not going to live in the future. They're going to live in this day. Let you lead them and direct them day by day. And Brother Ricky sang a while ago, praying the Holy Spirit of God to fill their temple. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just move. I pray, our Father God, that you would just help them and help me. Lord, that we'd be in front of people, Lord, the way we ought to be. Understand the joy of the Lord is our strength, and when they see us and they know that we love the Lord and we're going through battle with cancer and we've got problems in our family, but still we have the joy of the Lord. We still can rejoice and still be glad because of who you are. God, give us opportunities to tell a world that has no joy and has no happiness that the real source of peace and joy is the Lord. You said these things have I spoken to you that your joy might be full. And God, I pray, God, you'd help us to have a message of the gospel to share. And Lord, for our dear friends who may be in the radio audience, the internet audience, or here, who are not saved, I pray, God, that today would be this day would be the day of their salvation, that they come to trust Christ.